Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be together. It's good to worship together. Appreciate the team leading us. Thank you so much. If you haven't noticed, the focus of our song today is really surrounded by the title of the message, Give Praise to Our Great God. And that's what we've just done. Amen? It was so wonderful to sing together with you guys. It really, it's a pleasure. It's a joy. I look forward to it every week. And we just highlight Sunday as just a time to come together to worship our God. And we want to do just a little bit more of that. So if you have your Bibles today, open your favorite translation of God's Word to Psalm 145. That's what we'll be today. And so while you're turning there, we'll just put a little parameters around and just again thank you all who volunteered your whole Saturday. And by whole Saturday, I mean we got here at 6 and we got here a little after 9 last night. So that is a complete Saturday. And you gave up college football or whatever you do around the house or the yard on Saturday, and we appreciate that. It was a blessing to them. I talked to Neil and Robin a little bit more extensively. We focused, I think we've announced this a few times, but it's Neil Jones's sister's home. That's the connection. And pretty severely damaged. The pictures, I wish we'd have done maybe a little better job of showing you the damage. We just kind of showed you the restoration. The damage was pretty extensive. There was a mound of trash out by the road, probably as long as this room and as high, and maybe this high, just of everything in the house was piled up out there. So that's quite hit. Some houses were fine. Some houses pretty much utterly ruined. And his was one of the ones that was ruined. So it was good to be together. So thank you for serving faithfully there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll ask his blessing on God's word. And then we're going to read it and we're going to talk just a little bit about Psalm 145 today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Pray with me as I pray. Lord, thank you for today. It is good to be together. It's good to worship together. It's good to unite our voices. Thank you for the team that led us in these songs as we focus on the greatness, on praising our God, the greatness of God. It's an amazing thing to think about, and we're going to focus a little more on that here in just a moment. We thank you for your word, Lord, that is encouraging for us. It's instructing. It's convicting. It does all those things. It's a blessing, Lord, to have a copy of God's word that we can read. Thank you for that. Lord, we just lift up those around us who may be going through something tough, still going through overcoming surgery, going through difficult times. I think about Carlos and Rebecca and the loss of her grandmother. Pray that you be with that, the family today. And others who are dealing with issues, Lord, I pray that you would be and you would work a mighty hand in those. And we give you thanks, Lord, as we this week is our focus as a nation on the idea of thanksgiving, and as believers, we should do that every day. And so we're going to give a little challenge on that today, and I pray that your word would speak. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. It is good to be together. So let me read Psalm 145. Follow along with me as I read, and then we're going to point out a few things here. And I'll make a little application. So hang with us today. We're gonna roll through this, and we'll trust the Lord that He will work in His Word today. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Again, the song list today, right there, verse 3. And His greatness is unsearchable. Verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall be blessed, or shall bless you. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His works and kind in all his works. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. In your open hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Verse 19, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And the last verse, 21, my mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So some general observations, I think, as we look through Psalm 145 this morning, just some general observations that we can take right off the top. Let's point out to you briefly, it is David's last psalm. We're almost to the end. We've been in this thing all year, and we're almost to the end. And of the 73 or so that are authored by David, this is his last one. So almost a crescendo to David's poetry, to David's writing of the Psalms. Almost half the Psalms are David's. And so fitting that this would be a psalm of praise. It would be fitting for David. We think about David, we think about he was a guy that did praise the Lord. If you remember, he was a great musician, a great singer, a great man. He did wondrous things because of the Lord. If you'll recall thinking back on David. It also is, if you know a little bit about it, is an acrostic psalm. There are a few of those to where the beginning of every line is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this is one of those. It is an acrostic psalm. Each verse starting with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you'll notice as we read through, there are many things that we can point out. I would say number one is we notice a lot of reference to many of God's attributes. For example, his righteousness, his grace, his mercy, his mighty acts, and so forth. There are several mentions to different elements or different aspects of God's attributes to which we will point out four of those in our main points today. If you look at verses 11 through 13, there is reference to God's kingdom. And this is a tie all the way back to 2 Samuel 7. And no doubt David was thinking about not necessarily his kingdom being raised up, but the kingdom that God will enthrone one day, the everlasting kingdom. David knew his kingdom would not last. And we obviously know that. But God's kingdom is eternal. And so it is reference to God's kingdom. And ultimately, this psalm is a psalm of praise. You really can't get past the first verse or two, and even the ending verse, and notice that there is a sandwich, if you will, of praises. Notice verse 1, I will extol you, my God and King. To extol or to lift up or to exalt the name of the Lord, David says. Even the psalm he writes in Psalm 130, he says, I will extol you, O Lord, if you have drawn me up. And so there is an exaltation from David, even as he begins his words there in verse 1. Verse 2, he says, my every day I will bless you. We understand that this is a complete psalm of praise. Every day, David says, I will bless you. The psalmist writes in the very next psalm, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. And that's the idea, right? I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And that's the idea, I believe, that David is trying to show us in this psalm is the idea of lifting high, exalting, extolling, praising the name of the Lord. Praising, giving praise to our great God. And so as we go through this today, as we march through Psalm 145, I want to give you just maybe a key thought to keep in mind, maybe a thought to maybe help as we go through a few of these points today. A key thought, give praise to God for who He is and for what He does. So maybe a key thought today is to give praise to God for who He is and what He does. So let's dig into this thing. Give praise to our great God. I titled the message that way, and I believe that's kind of the overarching thing. And so there are many, but I picked out four things that we can give praise for based upon the psalm. Number one, we give praise to God for His greatness. Look at verses 3 through 6. I believe the psalmist writes, and we can see very clearly that this is one of the focuses that he points out, and one of the focuses of our music today, is his greatness. Give praise to God for his greatness. Notice verses 3 through 6. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts, right? His greatness. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, his great works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. And again, he wraps up this idea, I will declare your greatness. And so we understand that we too are to give praise for his greatness. The word great. Many times the word great or greatness, I believe, even in our language, our culture, is many times overused. I mean, we use it to describe so many things. It's like the word love. We use it to describe so many things. I love my wife. And I also love potato chips. There's a difference, right? There's a little difference. And I think the same thing is true with the idea of the word great. We title things great. And in comparison to other things they may be, for an example, there is this wall in China. But we call it the Great Wall of China. And it is, in comparison to other walls, in comparison to this wall over here, it is great. But in comparison to the Lord, it is, not so much. I mean, we title people that way. I remember thinking back on, there is a, and maybe not necessarily, maybe you guys can think back a little bit, Muhammad Ali was called the greatest. And he was. He was a great boxer in comparison to others, but in comparison to the Lord, not so much. And we think through people who title themselves like Alexander the Great. And we title things that happen even in America, at like the Great Depression, which it was a very difficult time. My grandmother was a teenager through it. I remember hearing stories about that. And if you're a fan of the Muppets, as I am, there is the Great Gonzo. But again, we overuse this word, do we not? And in our language, we would say, yeah, in comparison to things, we would title them as great, but really nothing compares to the greatness of the Lord, does it? It really doesn't. So we give praise for his greatness. Why do we do this? Verse 3, because he is greatly to be praised. Notice what Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 10, verse 6. He says this, he says, there is none like you, O Lord. You are what? Great. And great is your name in might. There's none like him. There's none that pale in comparison to the greatness of the Lord. Look at Judges chapter 2, verse 7. It says, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. And we would, looking back, say, those were some great things. I mean, we think about the Exodus. We think about God bringing them through the sea, how he parted the waters. We think about how God said, you know what, I'm going to give you a land that you didn't build. You just got to go take it. And they saw the walls of Jericho fall. I mean, they saw some mighty great things, but none that compare to the might of the Lord. None that compare to his greatest. No, David, no doubt, had seen great things even in his own life. I mean, who slays, who kills a giant with a slingshot? That's a great feat. And obviously, he would give credit to the Lord. Great things. David had seen great things from him rising to be the king of Israel. Even great things. Even during his moral failure, he saw God do great things in his life. And so David, no doubt, had seen the greatness of the Lord. And I believe it shows itself in the poetry that lays before us, where he says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So we worship. Why do we worship him? Why do we give praise for his greatness? Because he is greatly to be praised. We also proclaim, or to, he gives instruction, I believe, to proclaim his greatness to the generations. Almost an imperative, a command for us, for the reader here, to give credit to the generation. Notice verses 4 through 6. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. We're to proclaim his greatness. Notice what Psalm 78 verse 4 says. It says, we will not hide them from their children. No, we're not going to hide them, but we're going to tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. And really, that's where we should be, right? We should be proclaiming forth to the next generation the greatness of the Lord. You know, we're just one generation removed from that being ever wiped away. What if we were just say, you know what, I think it's going to stop here. I'm not going to tell the greatness of the Lord. The generation behind us would not know. They would not know. And so obviously David is writing. Obviously he is encouraging us, man, to share what God has done. How do we do this? How are we to proclaim? How are we to give praise for his greatness? How are we to tell the next generation and the next generation and that one after that, that this continues on? I believe Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you have your Bible, flip over there. I would encourage you to see it. I would encourage you to see it for yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at it together. 6, 5 through 9. This is how we do carrying out this to the next generation. How do we practically do this? I believe the instruction is here. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command to you shall be in your heart. You shall what? Teach them diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so I would encourage you as a family, dads, I would encourage you, moms, I would encourage you to partner with us as we raise this next generation, that we often, as much as we can, talk about the greatness of the Lord, his mighty works, his attributes, his many deeds. It will benefit you greatly because it will not only cause conversation. I don't know how to talk to my kids. Talk to them about the Lord. That's the easiest place to start. Talk to them about the Lord. Engage conversation. Make it a daily thing in your home. Moms, as my mom did, as we do at our house, put Bible verses up on the wall. Because I can still remember, even growing up, that my mom had these little plaques. But as for me and my house, we were serve the Lord. It's Joshua. And so I still remember those little things that were put up. Might have been insignificant to her, but it makes long-lasting effects. And so I would encourage you that we would tell of his greatness to the next generation. So we are to give praise for his greatness, verses 3 through 6. Also, second, I believe we are to give praise to God based upon David's words here for his goodness. Verses 7 through 10. Look at it with me. Verses 7 through 10. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Verse 7. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. So we're to give praise for his goodness. You guys know, notice I have my laptop today? Stepping up. No, actually, my printer ran out of ink. I would have totally had a paper copy. This is not me. It would have been a paper copy, but I'm growing. You techies, I'm growing. All right. I just got an email address. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. So we're to give praise to God for his goodness. We're to give praise. This is not a prosperity thing. This is not prosperity. Oh, man, you know, if I give praise to him, he gives goodness to me. This is not what this is. Because truly, we are all, those of us who are in the Lord are prosperous, are we not? We have the Holy Spirit. We are very, very much prosperous. Now, this is not any kind of prosperity thing here, but we are to give praise to his abundant goodness. Verse 7, he says, pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. Isaiah writes and says this in Isaiah 63, verse 7, so good. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel. He has granted to them according to his compassion and according to the abundance of his steadfast love. He is a good God. His goodness is abundant. How about Psalm 34, verse 8? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. And blesses the man who takes refuge in Him. And so I would encourage you that very word there, to take refuge in the Lord, because He is good. And we are to worship Him for His abundant goodness. Also, we are to worship Him, I believe in verse 8 teaches us this, to worship Him for His merciful goodness. Look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Psalm 86, verse 15 says this, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Could you imagine just for a moment? And we would say, man, we serve a good God. Would we not? We would say that. Could you imagine just for a moment, if we were just to replace that word good and say, man, we serve a terrible God. We serve a bad God. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the fear that we would constantly live in? Is he going to strike me down today? No, he's not that. He's compassionate. He's loving. He's steadfast. He's good. And so it's encouraging for us to know that He's just not this cosmic power sitting on a throne somewhere ready to strike us down because he's having a bad day. No, He's a good God, and He loves us, and He's compassionate. Man, it's so encouraging for me, His merciful goodness. He gives praise for His abundant goodness. Give praise for His merciful goodness. He's good to us. We give praise for His goodness over all He has made. Verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. Look at Genesis 1:31. This is the idea here. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. If you'll recall the creation account, when God spoke everything into existence, He had gotten to the end of it, and He said, this is good. This is very good. And we no doubt would say, we enjoy God's creation, do we not? It is very good. It is very good. Look at Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim His handiwork. When was the last time that you saw God's handiwork? When was the last time you saw Him present Himself in something that you said, that is from God? Was it a sunset, maybe? You can see the beautiful colors. Maybe a mountain experience where you saw the fall, the leaves changing, and just the vast majesty that God created there. Maybe a sunset or a sunrise on the ocean. You can just see God's creation. Maybe you look around, even something a little more simple, when you realize that God has been so good that He has blessed you with your spouse. And that is just a good thing. God has blessed us with kids, and they are good sometimes. But really, His goodness is over all He has made, is it not? And we're going to partake in some of that goodness here in just a little bit. Some of that good food out there, that's going to be good. So give praise for His greatness. He is a great God. We give praise for His goodness. I believe we also give praise for His glory. Look at verses 11 through 13. Give praise for His glory. Verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of Your kingdom and tell of Your power, to make known to the children of man Your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of Your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures throughout all generations. Why should we give praise for His glory? Well, I believe it's spelled out for us pretty clearly, because of the splendor of His kingdom, the glorious splendor of His kingdom. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Man, I was studying this week. I thought, man, this is a great verse to maybe wrap up or to enhance the idea of the glory of His kingdom. The glorious splendor of His kingdom. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Man, our Lord is the radiance of the glory of God. There is splendor in the idea of His glory. There is splendor in the idea of His kingdom. David, no doubt, had the notion that this kingdom that's coming will endure forever. Kingdoms come and go. Countries come and go. Nations come and go. But God endures forever. Amen? And so this is an everlasting kingdom. So we're to give praise to God for His glory. We're to give praise for the glorious splendor of His kingdom, and for His kingdom, rather, is an everlasting kingdom. David, no doubt, had that in mind. It gives us hope. When we think about the idea of a kingdom being everlasting, it should give us hope in the fact that this is to come. For those of us who know the Lord, that hope is to come. Isaiah writes and says, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 through 20, says, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor brightness shall the moon give you light by night. But the Lord will be an everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will no more go down, nor will your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended." There'll be a time when this life will be over and we will enjoy forever, for eternity, the splendor of His kingdom. It's everlasting. It's always and forever. Psalm chapter 10, verse 16 says, "The Lord's kingdom is forever and ever." And we would just keep going with that, right? Ever and ever. It's so encouraging to know that something doesn't fade away. And the things of this life fade away. You guys still have your bicycle that are older that you first got when you were a kid? It kind of fades away, doesn't it? How about when you look in the mirror, those of you who are getting a little older like myself? A little more gray. A little more gray coming out. Things fade, do they not? I used to have a mountain of a chest and then I had a landslide, you know? And so these things come and fade. They come and they go. But God's kingdom is everlasting. And that is hope for us. That is encouraging for us. I believe also that we can find the idea of hope in here. It gives us this promise to know also of things to come. And I believe John writes and maybe helps us out with this a little bit. And by the way, just a little pause here. I'm going to study John next year. I'm already excited. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Psalms have been great, but I am looking forward to studying the Gospel of John. The hope we have in God's promises. Look at John chapter 14. This is so encouraging. He says this. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." And I don't, if you remember, King James says many mansions. You remember that? Many mansions. Man, I used to love that when I was a kid. "If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you," this is good right here, "I will come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." That's encouraging for us. As we understand the idea of God's kingdom, as David no doubt did, he understood the idea of God's kingdom is everlasting. We have hope in the fact that His kingdom that is coming is everlasting. And we're going to partake in that. So we give praise to God for His greatness because He is great. He really is. We give praise to God for He is a good God. We give praise to Him for His glory. I believe finally we can give praise, my fourth point, for His grace. And this is where we'll spend the rest of our time under this idea, God's grace. Look at verses 8, 14, and then 17, or rather 8, 14, and 14 through 20. Look at verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast." That's a good thing, isn't he? Slow to anger. Because we are at times we're difficult. We're difficult. And He is slow. He is patient with us. Look at verse 14. "The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of the Lord look to you and give. And you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near," verse 18, "to all who call on Him and to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him, and He also hears their cry and He saves them." Verse 20, "The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked he will destroy. I believe the first thing we can see under the idea of giving praise to the Lord for his grace is the idea of God's common grace. The idea of God's common grace. Verse 15 and 16. The eyes of all look to you. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of everything. His common grace. Psalm 147 verse 8 says, he covers the heavens with clouds and he prepares rain for the earth. And he makes grass grow on the hills. And we understand that. We understand that we live in this world. And there are those who, like us, who are gathered this morning worshiping the Lord, believers all across our country. And there are those who are sleeping off last night's binge. But God is gracious in his common grace to all of us. We breathe the same air. We enjoy the same sun, the warmth. We enjoy the freedoms that he has blessed us with. Acts 17 verse 25, he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And so we get to share, for those of us who know the Lord and those who are outside the flock of God, there is common grace that he still blesses with this world. And so we would understand that. And we're going to partake in this food here in a little bit, and that's going to be good because he's provided that. But also God's grace is farther than that for those of us who are believers. There is God's merciful grace. There is his common grace, yes. That he gives rain for the just and the unjust. But for those of us who are in Christ, we understand that God's grace is intentional. It's very intentional. It's merciful. And I believe he points that out to us in verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are falling, and he raises up those who are bowed down. We would no doubt recognize the fact that verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. In verse 18, he's near for all who call on him. Have you been in a time lately that you needed to call on him? Have you ever been in a time in your life where you recognize, I need the Lord, and you saw his merciful grace, his intentional grace? Some of you are there now. Some of you are still dealing with issues. Maybe it's a physical thing. I know we're praising God because God has worked in Kathy's life and still recuperating, but we are giving praise to God for that. His merciful grace has been there. But some of you are dealing with, it's been a tough year for you. You've lost loved ones, some of them very close to you. Some of you are dealing with issues right now, maybe in your home. Maybe your marriage is not necessarily what you thought it should be. And God is, and you're needing God to mercifully step in. And I would encourage you to cry out to him. Maybe you're in a place today where, you know, you're just kind of, God, I need you. I just need you. I'm at a very low place in my life spiritually. God is there. He is merciful in his grace. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 40. I thought this so fitting to tie into this idea of God's merciful grace. Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. This is so encouraging for us. If you're in that place today where you need the Lord to step in, listen to these words. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Man, that's some encouraging words, is it not? If you're in a place, maybe you've been there before. You're at a good place now. Great, the Lord is working in your life. But maybe you're in a place you're like, you know what? I could use the Lord just to step in a little bit. I would encourage you to cry out to him. For those of you who are seeking the Lord, maybe today is a good day to cry out to him. Maybe he's working in your life. And I would say that that's the Lord working, and that you should surrender to that. Notice what Psalms 34 verse 18 says. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. He's near to the brokenhearted. That's encouraging, isn't it? You ever had your heart broken? And I'm not talking like when you were a teenager. You know, I've been there. Valerie broke my heart. But he's near to those who are suffering, is he not? He is. How about Deuteronomy 4? This is encouraging. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call on Him. Notice that there's instruction there for us to call on the Lord, to call on Him. Psalm 97, verse 10. O you who love the Lord, notice the imperative, hate evil. But I think here the latter part of that. He preserves the lives of His saints and He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. God is a God who is merciful in His grace. He preserves us. He raises us up. He heals us. He strengthens us to keep going. Because one day we will breathe our last and we'll be in eternity in the everlasting kingdom forever. So we're to give praise to God for His greatness because He is a great God. For His goodness, He is so good to us. He is good in all that He does. For His glory, He is a glorious God. We give praise to God for His grace. So how do we wrap all this together and make application? How do we put all this together and say, how do we do these things practically? How do we give praise to God? I think I got it. I think I know what to do. How can we give praise to our great God? I would say that we echo the words that the psalmist wrote. He says in verse 1, I will extol you, my God and King. Verse 2, every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. In verse 21, he says, practically with my mouth, I will speak the praises of the Lord. And so we're going to get time to do that again here in just a moment. Before we partake of this wonderful food out here, we're going to give time to give praise once more with our mouth, the greatness of the Lord. Oh, again, call your attention just to the key thought that as we sing this final song, as we worship Him together with our music one more time, give praise to God for who He is and what He's done. Who He is and what He does. So this week is Thanksgiving, whether you guys knew it or not. So this week I encourage you to spend some time with your family. Typically that's what we do. Thanksgiving is it's probably up there at the top of the list for me as far as holidays. Give thanks to the Lord this week. And so what I would encourage you can take this passage right here or maybe one of your favorites, but spend time with your family. We would encourage you Tuesday night, Wednesday night, whatever night you can get along, whatever, maybe at the dinner table, whenever you spend time together as a family during the week, and give praise to God. Give thanks to God for who He is and for what He does. And so I would encourage you this week to reflect upon maybe a few things just to think about. Number one, reflect upon the time that you once were lost, but now you're found. Reflect upon the time that God saved you. And then also reflect upon how great He's been throughout the years and how He has worked and how He has blessed you. And call back the events that God has you've seen God specifically work. And man, it will be worship in the house. We do that from time to time. We just kind of recount the past and we think, God is so good and so great and so gracious. And He has worked in many circumstances. So that's my encouragement. That's your homework, I guess, this week, is to reflect upon how great the Lord is and to give praise to our great God. So I'm going to ask the team to come up here in just a moment to pray. I'm going to go ahead and pray for our meal and give instruction there. Please let our older saints go first, if you will. I'm going to give you instruction there to do that. And then come alongside your kids. Obviously, we try to let's not be wasteful with that. And then let's just have some good fellowship out there. And we're going to take the Lord's Supper together after we meal. So save room for the Lord's Supper. Team, I want to get you to come up and sing. We're going to just do Great is the Lord. Let's do that one. Great are you, Lord. And will you pray with us? Let's go ahead and stand as we close the service out. I'm gonna get them to lead us in that. And happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And let's pray together. Father God, thank You for today. Lord, You are good. You are great. You're glorious, Lord, and we thank You for Your grace. We give praise to You today for who You are. We thank You for the blessings that we can recall. Lord, how You've not only worked, we can see it in Scripture, Lord, how You've worked mightily, but Lord, You've worked in our own lives. And that is just an incredible, incredible feat. And so, Lord, today as we kind of wrap this service up and go in and have a meal together. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, be glorified in that. Lord, we thank you that you have given us food to eat. We bless you with it. I pray that it would be nourishment for us. Thank you, Lord, for those who have just faithfully made meals, whether last night or this morning, and have just done a mighty work there. I just pray that you'd bless them. And God, we just give you praise and glory for the food we're about to partake. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to sing this last song, Great Are You, Lord. So we unite our voices together and sing. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we do all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's sing to the Lord.